Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Of you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children. You gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take the insert for the second Sunday in Lent and chant the intro.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Lord, have mercy.
for they have been from of old.
Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Lent is from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you, throughout their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, As for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
epistle is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel in verse.
If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say, Elijah, and others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Nicene Creed on page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven,
You may be seated.
Genesis 17 picks up at this point. God has now given Abraham the sign of circumcision as a testimony that he would keep his word to give Abraham a child through Sarah. Again, our Lord says, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And God's promise was partially fulfilled when Isaac was born and fully fulfilled when Jesus became incarnate. That promise and its fulfillment leads us to today's gospel lesson. Jesus had asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And that is the question we are asked today. Who do you say that Jesus is? And who does the world say that Jesus is? The scriptures testify to the truth that Jesus is the incarnate word, the seed of Abraham, through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And today we will reflect on how Jesus' identity benefits us and what that means for Christians throughout the world. First, we will see that the world has all kinds of ideas of who Jesus is, and if he even exists. Next, we will reflect on the call that we as Christians have to make the bold confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, and to not be ashamed of him. And then finally, we will meditate on how today's gospel teaches us that Jesus is the Christ who is betrayed, crucified, and rises from the dead so that our souls could be saved. First, the world has all kinds of ideas of who Jesus is. In today's gospel lesson, we get just a taste of these answers. We get a sense for what the Jews thought about Jesus. We know that the scribes and Pharisees thought that he was a deceiver who worked by the power of the devil. And we know that the crowds that Jesus is asking about confessed that he was probably John the Baptist, or maybe Elijah. Still others thought he was one of the prophets. They knew that Jesus was important, and that he was working miracles, because he went throughout the world preaching the gospel and proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. These people had been on the mountain with Jesus earlier in Mark, when he took a few fish and loaves of bread and turned it into more than enough food to feed 4,000 people. But even with all of that in mind, the question remained: who is Jesus? Some in our world today read the scriptures and conclude that later followers of Jesus embellished his teachings and miracles. But at the heart of it, Jesus was a really great teacher in the long line of prophets who grasped the deep reality of the human soul and the desire to be united with the divine. According to these people, Jesus was a great teacher who led people on the path of enlightenment, like Buddha, Mohammed, or some other religious leader. Jesus led the people down a path of wisdom and self-sacrifice. We know that others decide or believe that Jesus either never existed, or that he was a charismatic speaker, and that all these stories arose around him out of a desire to see the messianic age fulfilled. But in today's text, the only one that gets the right answer is Saint Peter. He says, "You are the Christ." But even St. Peter doesn't understand the implications of this confession. Because even though he recognized that Jesus was the Christ, he rebuked Jesus when Jesus said that it was necessary for him to be betrayed into the hands of sinners, be crucified, buried, and rise on the third day. But it was through these words that Jesus was demonstrating what it means for him to be the Christ. It meant that he is the one who dies and rises again for the salvation of the world. And so we as Christians are called to make this bold confession of faith. Let us meditate on what that means for us. Because we have to ask, what does it mean for Jesus to be the Christ? The term Christ comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, which means anointed one. In the Old Testament, when someone was called to be a priest, a prophet, or a king, they would be anointed for that ministry. And so when we say that Jesus is the Christ, or the anointed one, we are saying that he has been set aside as the prophet, priest, and king. He is the king who reigns over his people. He is the prophet who brings the word of God to his people. And finally, he is the priest who will offer the sacrifice of his own body and blood for the salvation the world. That is what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. And we see Jesus' anointing all the way back at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus baptized in the Jordan River. The heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus. And God spoke from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And so with all of this in mind, we, with St. Peter, are called to make the bold confession that Jesus is the Christ. We have also received the gift of the Holy Spirit when we were baptized and when we heard the word of God proclaimed to us. And now the Holy Spirit works through us to strengthen us in the faith. And he teaches us the words of Christ. So this leads us to the next question. Are we ready to make this bold confession, no matter what it costs us? In our gospel lesson, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And Abraham provides us with an example of this kind of faith. As we talked about at the beginning of this message, we mentioned how Abraham left everything. He left his father's house, his land, and everything he knew to follow and believe the word of God. And our Lord fulfilled his promises to Abraham. Now it is true, most of us aren't called to leave our possessions, our work, and our family to follow God. Most, if not all of us, can follow God in faith right at home while being with our friends and family and going about our everyday life. But there is a reality expressed for us in today's text. It is becoming increasingly relevant as our world becomes less and less sympathetic to the gospel. We are increasingly on the verge of being persecuted for the faith. And so now we have to ask, are we ashamed of Jesus and his words? Are we embarrassed by the claim that Jesus is not just one of many in a long line of prophets and wise teachers? That Jesus is the only way to heaven? Are we ashamed of the scriptural confession that marriage is between one man and one woman in a lifelong union? Or unwilling to confess that life begins at conception and that abortion is murder? Do we have a hard time following Jesus' words when we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves and to forgive our enemies? That is the question that we have to deal with today. And ultimately, all of those feelings are natural. We are human and we struggle with the reality of our sinful nature. And our Lord grants us mercy in our times of weakness. But in today's text, we are still confronted with Jesus' words, where he warns that if we are ashamed of him, he will also be ashamed of us before his Father and all the holy angels. So are we ready and willing to risk dying to ourselves and to the world for the confession of faith in thought, word, and deed? Some of us may lose jobs or suffer consequences at work. Friends and family may judge and mock us, and we may suffer other kinds of mockery and judgment. But are we ready and willing to answer the question of who is Jesus with a confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, and to confess the truth as we find it in the Bible? We can try to make Jesus' words more palatable or skirt around the issue, but ultimately those attempts will fail, and God doesn't need our help for his word to be effective. Ultimately, the confession of who Jesus is difficult for people to hear, because it is both an inclusive claim and an exclusive claim. It is inclusive because when we say that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, we are confessing that Jesus came into the world because God loved his whole creation and desired to save and restore it. But there's also an exclusive claim, and this is why Christianity meets so much hostility in many parts of the world. Because when we say that Jesus is the Christ, we are saying that all other religions are imperfect, that they cannot save, and that they do not have the truth. But again, we confess this because of the inclusivity of the gospel, the message that goes out to all the world and says that Jesus came into the world to fulfill the promise given to Abraham so that Jesus could be the one through whom all the nations of the earth are blessed. Through his death and resurrection, He has blessed the world and invites all of us to believe in Him, to feast at the Lord's altar, and to be strengthened by His word. Remember that today's text comes shortly after the feeding of the 4,000, which occurred in Gentile territory. We learn that those who fed on the bread and the fish with Jesus' miraculous ministry were composed of both Jew and Gentile. Both Jew and Gentile saw the Lord's working miracles and were called by the Lord to have faith in Him. By that miracle, He was demonstrating that He came to save the entire world. And we experience the universality of Jesus' gospel in the Lord's Supper, where we feast with all the saints on earth now and all the saints who have their rest in heaven. We worship our Lord and receive these gifts with all the ends of the earth and remember the Lord, because all the nations have been blessed by Him and have come to worship Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. Finally, let us meditate on what it means for today's gospel to teach us that our Lord Jesus is the Christ, who was betrayed, crucified, and rose from the dead, so that our souls could be saved. Jesus taught us that it was necessary for Him to die, because it is His death that gives us life. As the Apostle Paul says in our epistle lesson, "For if while we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, so we be saved by His life." Jesus gave His life so that we could find life. That is the paradoxical reality that we read about today. It's only through death that we find life. Jesus said, "Whoever seeks to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake in the Gospels will save it." And Jesus lost His life for the sake of the Gospel and saved it and our lives when He rose from the dead. Because we as Christians have already died and been raised with Christ through holy baptism. Through baptism, we renounced the devil and all of his works, and we came up out of the water and received the Holy Spirit so that we could be children of God, the children in whom God is well pleased. We have entered the royal priesthood and the holy nation of God's own possession, became the nation of kings that God promised to bring from Abraham's descendants. On the cross, the old order was turned upside down so that those who die with Christ will have their lives saved through Him. We know that Jesus carried our sins and even our shame about Him and His word to the cross. As He was there, naked and dying a shameful death, He took all of our shame, sin, and death and rose triumphant over the grave. And so we do not have to be ashamed, because now we can rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Our hope and life is found in the risen and triumphant King, who saved our lives by losing His. And so we return to the question that we asked at the beginning: who is Jesus? The world has all kinds of answers to this, but Jesus demonstrates Himself as the Christ, who entered His creation to die for you. Our Lord left His Father's house and entered His creation. He lost His life by His death on the cross and rose from the dead so that we could be saved. It was necessary that our Lord suffer at the hands of sinners so that He could save those same sinners by His death and by His resurrection 3 days later. Who is Jesus? He is not just a prophet. He is not a liar or a myth. He is the King from the lineage of Abraham, through whom all the nations are blessed. Let us praise Jesus, the anointed Savior of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
prayer of the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole church and for all people according to their needs. O God, through the grace of your Holy Spirit, and during this Lenten season, pour the gifts of repentance, faith, and love into the hearts of your faithful people. Grant your servants health both of mind and body, that we may love you with our whole heart and with our whole strength perform those things that are pleasing to you. May we carry our cross and follow Jesus the Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have called us to carry out the Great Commission to all the nations of the world, to Jew and to Gentile, so people may know Jesus Christ to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless the work of Trinity Lutheran Church and all that we do here in this place, that we and others may also walk steadfastly in the way that leads to eternal life. Bless the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Ukraine, Pastor Andrew and Megan Fetter, as they serve as educators of pastors and teachers and lay people, as they serve the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Ukraine. May they and we walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, direct our doings with your most gracious favor. We, as baptized Christians, serve you in our daily vocations and calling, that all our works, begun, continued, and ended, may glorify your holy name. This week, be with Ron Barnes, John Campbell, Katie Brinketter, and Russell Batter, Channing Gobble, Ben Faskold, Ginny Brinketter, and Larry Miller, Sarah Lemke, Richard Connor, Derek Hartman, and Arlisa Tarver. And also bless Bill and Sue Eby as they celebrate their wedding anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy, for our nation and land, we give you thanks, O Lord. We ask that you bless us with responsible leaders who rule and have authority over us, those newly elected and those continuing to serve. May they make, administer, and judge the laws of our land according to your mercy and strength and justice. Continue to be with those among our family and friends who defend our liberties so that we can live in peace. Courtney Tate, Danny Green, Kevin Stevenson and Ricardo Otaga, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, and Alex Laffin. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, you are the great physician of soul and body. You chasten and you heal. We ask that you bring this pandemic to an end, O Lord, and deal compassionately with doctors and medical personnel and all who are afflicted in any kind of infirmity or sickness, that you grant them healing. This week, be with Don Riley, Jack Tarver, Candy Darmody, Miranda Wente, and her unborn child, and all who are in need of courage, hope, and your healing power. Lord, in your mercy, comfort the family of the former pastor here, Pastor Marvin, and his wife Shirley Henschel, at the death of their son, Mark. We thank you, O Lord, for the light that you gave Mark in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Assure them and us that we have patience for the suffering of this present time, in full assurance of the glory that shall be revealed to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Voluntary is played as we prepare the altar. Please fill out the ritual friendship sheets and put them in the basket as you leave in the narthex and your offerings at the door. You may be seated for the voluntary. Please turn to page 208. We stand for the service of the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise, now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
body of Christ. Thank you. Nuctamenis, page 211. We stand to sing. Upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.